Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That was special. And the only thing that made it more special is that poor Howie Rose had to wait while that was going on. So joining us right now, the voice of the New York Mets. You hear him on the Odyssey Mets Radio Network, the great Howie Rose. Howie, how's it going?
Oh, that was worth the wait. Don't worry about it. Hope you have a good lawyer.
Hey, it has nothing to do with me. Didn't you hear the disclaimer? No. It is no opinions similar to mine.
I don't know. I've got sources that might indicate different.
Watch out, Howie. Bad T's going to come back. There's going to be an AI bad Howie.
I can see that happening.
AI, you realize AI will be the ruination of all of us.
Yes.
We're done.
We are done. No, and unfortunately, I think this Bad Tiki segment has sped up the eventual end of all of us because of AI.
Might as well get it over with. I'm not getting any younger.
What's your feeling on the state of the team? Obviously, recent funk. Hopefully, last night gets them out of it. They're still only a half game out of first place. Give me your state of the Mets feeling.
Look, the one overriding feeling I have right now is that you just can't keep asking your bullpen for 12 to 15 outs a night. It's not sustainable.
No.
And that's why guys are coming up and down literally every day.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have some fresh arms out there. But your starting pitchers have got to go deeper than they've been lately. I think they will. There's no reason to assume they won't. But it's certainly something that I think is going to influence how David Stearns approaches the deadline, which is a little over a month away. So, I mean, that's the first thing. You know, guys who generally hit should hit. I mean, obviously Soto was going to come around at some point, and I think, and he even talked about this last night, the warm weather has a lot to do with it.
Right.
There are some guys who just are not comfortable playing, and we had some lousy weather the first 2 months under those conditions. But obviously the lineup needs to lengthen a little bit. They expected more from Alvarez. Hopefully he's able to come back and provide some. Winker is getting close,
right,
which will provide. Yeah, exactly. So I think the plan for him is to DH Sunday for Brooklyn. And I don't think it's inconceivable that he'll be back before the All-Star break now and perhaps, you know, a week before the break.
You know, one of the issues that you bring up, especially with some of these guys getting healthy, Winker is one of them, and Mark Vientos is likely to be activated either tonight or tomorrow.
Tomorrow, probably.
So likely tomorrow. It creates an interesting roster decision. And Evan was talking about this earlier, but Ronnie Mauricio has been really good over the last couple of days. How do you think they're going to weigh the pros and cons of sending him up or down or someone else?
My feeling, and that's all this is not from talking to anyone, is that he's got to get at-bats because he's still playing catch-up.
Yeah.
He's young and he missed an entire year. And there have been some encouraging signs. The last couple of nights would be the best indication. But I think even more so than where they were at with Acuna, because, you know, Acuna can impact a game several different ways, but he just wasn't getting enough at-bats. They had to get him playing every day down there. And it may well be that that's the decision that'll be made, because there are a couple of decisions coming, right? You've got the spot for Vientos and then a spot for Winker a little bit sooner perhaps than we thought, and that'll impact somebody else. So I think in their perfect world, they want Mauricio playing every day, but he could make that a more difficult decision even tonight. I don't know that they were set in stone before last night, but you know, he might have made a little case for himself last night.
The other guy who's quietly starting to hit again is Brett Beatty. I don't know what to make of him. He's made such great progress at third base, where he's their best defensive option at third base, but he's been so inconsistent.
Right.
Like, what do you think of him right now?
That's a heck of a question, because it really is, because every time you think, and I've used the word on the air when he was hot a few weeks ago, he'd come up with a big hit here or there, and I'd get a little excited and say we may be seeing the emergence of an everyday quality big league player here. And then, you know, in his defense, I guess it was his groin that he tweaked going after a foul ball, and that set him back a little bit. But there have been some encouraging signs from him this year. You have flexibility because of the DH spot between Beatty and Vientos and Marte, and so we'll see how that shakes out. You know, I'd like to see Brett continue to take that.
You just mentioned Vientos again. Let's circle back to him, because he's going to come up, and I know Evan and I were talking about this yesterday, and Evan's stance is he's got to be that player that we saw at the end of the regular season and into the postseason, basically become a savior for what has been somewhat of a limp offense over the last couple of weeks. I don't know if I trust that, though. He's still a young player. He still hasn't had years of experience in understanding how to come back from injury and get right back into this. And he struggled before he went on the IL with that hamstring injury. So when you think about Mark Vientos, what should we expect from him?
Don't know. It's a great question because you made the perfect point that, you know, at this stage of his career, and any young player who's on the path that he's been and had kind of a, you know, sort of parallel run of success early on, you can't trust it until you see more of it. And so what do? You play him as much as you can and hope that he comes around. Again, that impacts Beatty. That impacts a DH spot. If Brett continues to hit and play, then maybe Mark's more often than not your right-handed DH. Now, what does that mean for Marte? That's another conversation. That's why all these things are swimming around, I think, in David Stern's mind.
We're talking to Howie Rose. Mets get set to wrap up this four-game series against the Braves. We have obviously seen a lot of Juan Soto over the years torturing the Mets as a member of the Nationals. Getting to watch him every day, what have you kind of appreciated about watching Juan Soto and learned about Juan Soto watching him every day?
I don't think I've learned anything about him because we know, having seen him often enough over the years, that the best of Juan Soto is beyond elite. Where we're sitting right now is below the Coca-Cola corner here, which is the upper deck. And I don't know if you'd remember this, but one of the COVID years, I think it was the year nobody was here in 20, he hit a home run to the back of the Coca-Cola corner, beyond the seats, you know, into the path, the walkway there in front of the kiosks. Yeah. And that's the kind of power he has. Again, people just want so much so soon without factoring in the human element. He was adjusting to a new environment, new teammates. Again, the weather wasn't great, not to make an excuse, but some guys just handle that better than others. And I think we're seeing the emergence of Juan Soto now. The one thing that surprised me that doesn't make any sense, and there'll probably be some evening out between now and the end of the season, is how could he possibly be hitting about 150 with men in scoring position?
Yeah, I don't get that.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't expect that to continue.
And it's a whole team thing. Like, usually when a team struggles with runners in scoring position, I try to be rational. I say, it'll change. Just keep getting guys on base. We're halfway through the season, and it hasn't really changed. Like, as a team, outside of Pete, a little bit of Marte and Torrens, like, everyone has produced kind of poorly with runners in scoring position. How do you make sense of it?
You don't, and you expect it to even out along the line. Doesn't mean it will,
right?
But I think the smart money is that some of the guys who have struggled in that department are going to step it up. Certainly hope so, but there's no reason based on the back of their baseball cards to think that it won't.
Now, we talked about, you mentioned the bullpen. You can't have these guys getting 12 to 14 or 15 outs every single night because guys aren't getting deep in the starting rotation, but it doesn't feel like that's also an easy solution. You know, Clay Holmes has never done this before, right? He's pitching way over his innings limit. And, you know, obviously, he was a reliever before. He's a starter. David Peterson doesn't have a long track record as well. Senga's hurt. The solution doesn't seem obvious. And you mentioned David Stearns at the trade deadline, but we also know that David Stearns is not an irresponsible trade deadliner. You know what I mean? So how does this get solved? Because I think it's got to be more than just, sorry, Clay Holmes, you got to go deeper. You got to do better. What if he can't?
No, that's not – you can only push so far before it becomes counterproductive, right? So in my mind right now, they probably feel they have had strength in numbers in the starting rotation. Now they've had half a season to assess what they have, what's coming back, and what they can expect from those coming back. You know what you can expect from Senga if he comes back healthy. But I don't think you can say the same thing about McGill. I don't know that you know what you can expect. I've always thought, and I know they've kind of toyed around with it too, especially because Tylor gets into situations where, you know, he loses command, starts walking people. Boy, that's an enticing arm to have going full throttle for an inning out of the bullpen.
Right? Yeah.
If he can be resilient enough to do it a few times a week, depending on what else shakes out as far as the starters go, if they get someone from outside the organization. I don't know that they're inclined to think about Jonah Tong or Nolan McLain, but they could be options that they explore just as a cameo before they get to the trade deadline. All of that stuff, I think, is on the table.
Let me ask if this is on the table. Because last night, as I'm checking out, that Jake is flirting with a no-hitter, and I'm secretly rooting against him doing it.
Ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna happen.
You didn't have to ask the question.
Is it not gonna happen because Jake wouldn't waive his no-trade clause, or is it not gonna happen because Texas won't do it, or the Mets won't do it?
Yes, yes, and yes.
So all of
them. Okay. I don't know.
It's a Met fan thing more than it is a
gut feeling. As a gut feeling, and this is just me talking, I don't think Jake was thrilled the last year or two that he was here about being here for whatever reason.
Is that a Met thing or is that a New York thing?
I think
could have been a pandemic thing.
Right. Obviously. True. It's a good point. Yeah. The last place he wanted to be during the pandemic was New York. It was probably as bad as anywhere.
Because he has a full no trade, would be surprised if he'd waive it. And that's if you can even consider a deal that would be made that would make sense because of the financial aspect of it. He's making a lot of money.
He's
had two elbow surgeries. He's 37. And I don't know other than beyond the emotional level, because we've seen he's still pretty close to the top of his game. But when you ask, you know, can you trust a young guy who's unproven like Vientos to give him third base and run with it, can you trust that Jacob DeGrom can stay healthy?
Probably not.
To make it a worthwhile. So you can't make it emotional, right?
Yeah. It's tough because if I blindly asked you, all right, Howie, you've watched this team forever. Give me like the 5 or 10 most emotional moments you've had as a Met fan. You're probably going to tell me opening day 1983, Tom Seaver walking back through the bullpen. Yeah. That's probably up there, right? I want that, Howie. I want that moment. DeGrom coming back for us, the younger generation, that would be like,
God. History doesn't repeat itself.
Not only that, they're totally different situations. Mm. Because with Tom, it wasn't about the money. The game was different financially, even though it was changing. But 1983 was a lot different than 2025 as far as the numbers are concerned. Tom was 38 going on 39. And I know there are a lot of people who weren't in favor of the move then. I was, for the same reason you're. Seriously, I was thrilled when they brought Tom back because I always thought, I was crazy enough to think even after they traded him, and in the short aftermath after they traded him, I remember thinking and saying on the air when I was at WHN, I sounded like a dopey little kid, but I said, you know what? The Cincinnati Reds, who were a great team then, they're a small market. Those guys are getting old. They're going to want to move salary and contracts along the way. Tom Seaver's going to win his 300th game in New York. They're going to bring him back, and he's going to win his 300th game in New York. Well, they brought him back, and he won his 300th game in New York.
You're right.
But not the way it was supposed
to.
No,
it all got screwed up.
You know?
Yeah.
That didn't work the way it should have. But that was pure emotion. With Jake, there's too much money involved, too much risk involved for me. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it won't happen, but again, Jake's got to be the one who would sign off on that.
I'm skeptical that he would want to come back. That's why I ask you. You broke the news to me in a very nice way, but it stinks. What about Pete? You think Pete's going to be a career Met? We asked him, and he sounds like he wants it. Right. I don't know if the Mets want it.
I've always felt, and this is no big revelation, he means more to the Mets than he does any other team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I don't know about his mindset trying to regain some of which he might have felt he lost last winter.
You're talking money.
Yeah. He won't have the qualifying offer attached to him,
right,
which is an impediment that no longer exists. He's having a really good year, maybe even a career year by the time it's over, if he picks it back up. So then you ask the question, at what will be age 31 next year, what's the value? Is it over 3 years, or is it the 5 or 6 he'd probably like to get? I'd like to think there's a deal to be made there. Mm. He wants to be here. The fans want him here. I think the front office is suitably impressed with what he means to this organization. But, again, the business aspect is gonna rule, and we'll see. But I think all of the components are in place to make another deal.
I think one of the reasons Juan Soto got paid so much money is, one, he's a great player and he was so young, but also, I mean, he's so marketable. Right? He is one of the faces of Major League Baseball. But from a local standpoint, Pete Alonso is kind of also that. Do you still
Absolutely.
Put stock in the milestone numbers that he likely will hit and what it means to be a Met when he does those things?
Well, I'll give you three things. I think that it means a lot to Pete, in particular, to break Daryl Strawberry's franchise record, and I think he's 8 home runs away from tying him right now.
Yeah, told Evan he was going to hit 3 of them for him tonight.
All right, beautiful. So that'll
cut down into it a little bit. Let's get this thing done.
That'll expedite the that particular affair. So that's one. The other is, I think it would be wonderful to have a career-long Met. David Wright was a career-long Met, but he unfortunately left part of that career in a hospital or a doctor's office or whatever. I mean, unfortunately. With Pete, there's the chance not only to be a career Met, but if he is, he could be the first Met to hit 500 home runs as a Met. Yeah. Gary Sheffield hit his 500th as a Met.
Yeah, we don't count that.
No, no. So I think for those three reasons.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
They tie together emotionally. It's part of what makes Pete so special to the Mets, the fans, their organization.
Right.
I think there's a deal to be made there, and I think those are three reasons why.
It makes sense. Let's hope so from Mets fans' perspective. Let me flip to the Skip. So last year, save for the bullpen issues at the beginning of the year, which ultimately worked themselves out and they ended up getting to the NLCS, it felt like Mindy handled his rookie season as a manager with aplomb. I mean, it felt he had every answer. He was great with the media, made every right decision, and ultimately they had a really long run in the postseason. Year two, it's a little bit more challenging. Right, and I'm not saying there's more scrutiny, but you're going through a streak, or at least a losing streak over the last couple of weeks. It's been rough. Evan and I were talking about our flag levels. Is it yellow? Is it red? And for me, it was a little bit red because he started calling out his players a little bit. And once you start doing that, if it doesn't work, what do you do next? So, what do you think about Mindy's handling of some of this mid-season adversity?
Well, when you say calling out a player, give me one or two that stick in you.
Well, he didn't call out anyone specifically. He basically said the guys have to start playing better. And usually you don't hear that. You would never hear Aaron Boone say that.
If Bill Parcells said that, Tom Coughlin, would you take offense to that?
Well, it's different because in football, you can just play harder. Right, I can hit that guy harder than I did the week before, or toughness matters. Whereas in baseball, it's like golf: the harder you try, sometimes the worse you get. Well, you know what I mean? And so, creating an emotional like you better doesn't really work. You know what I mean?
I haven't seen any signs that the players have lost any faith in him. Let's put it that way. And I think it's refreshing when a manager steps away from what's expected with regard to giving vanilla answers or being intentionally bland. Because as long as he's not embarrassing a player, for example, and this isn't about Mindy now, this is just my own opinion. A couple days ago, O'Neill Cruz in Pittsburgh made an indifferent play going after a base hit. He played it off to the side instead of getting in front of it. Anyway, went off his glove, rolled behind him. He couldn't be bothered to even turn around and think about chasing after it. That was bad enough. If I'm Don Kelly, I get him out of the game right there. But he didn't. And then the other night, he hits into a double play, and he's running half-hearted down the line. Kelly finally pulled him out. You know, I would think that most players would support the manager in a situation like that because, hey, now his behavior or his demeanor is impacting the rest of us. And I think that's when a manager has a right to single out a player. But nowadays, with social media being as prevalent and powerful, unfortunately, as it is, every little thing is magnified in a way that we used to think we magnified it on, right. on talk radio. Yeah. That's nothing right. compared to today.
Yeah.
So I think a manager's got to be careful. I think he's got to at times be circumspect. I think at other times he's got to be able to drop the hammer and let the players know he's willing to do it. But there's also a consistency that needs to be there mm-hmm. so that they know who they're dealing with. And Carlos has been that from day one right. spring training last year. And I think players appreciate that.
Do you think the Mets win the NL East? And also, does it matter if they win the NL East? With this?
To me, it does.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one reason why, having lived it last year, is that they end the regular season on the road with a week-long trip. They're in Chicago and then Miami and then the postseason. And if you've got a chance to win the division, and at the very least, depending on which seed, play your first series at home, never mind getting the potential bye, which would be fine, too. And the way their bullpen is used, believe me, they can certainly use up to a week off if yeah. it comes down to that. Yeah, I think first place is of urgent importance this year. Can they? Talk to me on about August 10th,
yeah.
because the roster as it's presented today, and the same goes for the Phillies, is going to be different from post-trade deadline.
I agree with you. I still think the winning the division matters. I think because of the first few years of this new format, we've seen so many teams get knocked out in the division series. It's created this false belief of, it doesn't matter. Just make the playoffs. Sure, you can go on a run, but it's just easier if you win the division.
Right. The Mets last year were on the road literally two full weeks at the end of the season, including the postseason. They were one big swing away from going out in three games and being done within a week. But, you know, what happened and how just about magical the run was, it's asking a lot to duplicate that. So, yeah, winning the division would be of, to me, utmost urgency and significance.
I didn't even think about the end of the regular season, what it means, especially if you don't win the division and then you're on the road again.
A lot of traveling.
A lot of traveling.
That's a lot.
Two full weeks.
Howie, we appreciate it, man. Thank you
very much for coming on.
The voice of the New York Mets here on the radio.
Thank you.
The great Howie Rose.
It's not me. It's bad TV.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.